Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, September 10th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Eddie Olia Jr., and joining me is Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
How you doing, Bless?
Tim, I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing extremely well. You know fucking why? Because a new story, number one, if it stays where I think it's going to stay on this, because a lot of things have happened in the last 15 minutes or so, but Prince of Persia, baby. Decade of Dreams somehow continues. I don't understand it. Even when the world is in shambles, somehow Tim Geddes still gets what he wants. It's fucking insane.
Somehow Tim Geddes, it's wild, right? In the same month, we've gotten, what, Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which I know is a Tim dream. I mean, it's not the dream version of 3D All-Stars, but it's a version of a Tim dream,
and you
right?
know what? No, we can talk about this later. Let's talk about it later. Get through the rigmarole.
Yeah, let's go through it because we have a lot to talk about today. Of course, Ubisoft Forward is coming up later, which we're going to react live to, but I'll talk about that in a second. Today's stories include Prince of Persia making a return, that Scott Pilgrim game possibly making a return, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. And I should point out, it's not 10 a.m. live today. We're starting early today because we got a busy day. And so this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily might be a little bit shorter because we got to wrap up at a certain point. But of course, it's starting early, so you can still get a full episode.
All the things we're about to talk about now in this show, we're going to actually see in a couple hours and react to them properly.
Exactly. So the headline of the show is probably going to be Prince of Persia, but we're probably going to get full information on that in a couple of hours. If you're watching live, though, you can correct us if you get stuff factually wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Shout out to Kevin. Kevin actually came through and put the remaining screws back in my desk. As I understand it, though, he might be lying to me because he was making a lot of jokes as he was doing it. Kevin was talking about possibly removing screws from my desk. And so this desk could be sturdier. It could be more fragile.
Why don't you stand on it and find out?
You know? maybe in an episode where we have more time, I might actually do that bit now because I feel more secure.
Sure.
Possibly, you know, if you're not sure lying you to me in my face. Way. To be part of the show, at the patreon.com/kindoffunnygames or bronze members or above, get to write in. And silver members or above, get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. A housekeeping, as we said earlier, we're live reacting to the latest Ubisoft Forward at noon today, right here. Again, at noon, happening right after, I believe, We Have Cool Friends, which is happening right after this.
And with Jack Quaid from The Boys.
Yeah, really exciting one. And so stay tuned right after this. Is The Boys going to make another appearance later in the show as a reference? It might. Stay tuned. A lot happening in the video games industry. A lot of unexpected things happening in the industry. Some sad things, and I'll get to that in that news story. After that, we're doing a huge sponsored Predator Hunting Ground stream today. Catch is playing 4 hours starting at 1 p.m. Pacific time right after that Ubisoft 4. That's right. You're getting a full day of live content right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Also, we heard that some of you guys were using that code from Bespoke Post, and that code wasn't working. That's been fixed, and so I want to let you know that you can now go to
awesome.com.
Oh, there it is. Your order. Wait, is Tim gone? Who's gone? I'm gone?
Froze.
What happened? Am I here?
You froze.
Oh, no. All right, so to repeat... You can go to Bespoke Post or you can go to boxofawesome.com, enter code GAMES at checkout to help support the show and get 20% off your order. Of course, I'm in a new place now, still getting settled with the internet. I might have to wire in so that stops happening. We'll figure it out as we go. Of course, New World Order, all that good stuff. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mom and Muhammad, Tom Bach, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by NZXT and the GG app, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some robotic news. We have 5 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Oh my God.
Great.
Starting with our number one, that Prince of Persia remake seems to be Sands of Time. This is from Jordan Olliman at IGN.
All right. Yeah, that's cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, it has happened.
It's happening.
Prince of Persia, Sands of Time is back. Do I have one of my very few paintings back here dedicated to Prince of Persia, Sands of Time? Of course I do. Of course I do. Does. A lot of people have been asking what these are. We have Mario World over there. We have Prince of Persia over there. We have Super Smash Brothers. Final Fantasy X, and then Metal Gear Solid 2. All very important games to me, very important franchises to me. Prince of Persia, though, a little out of place with the rest of these. You know what I mean? Prince of Persia, not as big of a deal, but it's a big deal. Oh,
you wouldn't say so? Less. Prince of Persia, I'd say, is a big deal, right? People love Prince of Persia.
Yeah, not on the same level of Metal Gear or Final Fantasy.
Okay. Fair.
But here's the thing. All these rumors came out of Prince of Persia remake, and I'm just like, I can't be still in my heart. I gave up on Prince of Persia anything a couple of years ago. Still wanted it every year at E3, but never expected to actually get it. Then all these rumors started, and I was like, all right, here we go. Then the rumors started that it was probably going to be a remake of the original, the 2D one. And I'm like, we already got a remake of the 2D one, and it was pretty good. Frame rate wasn't great, but like the game itself was pretty good based on the look of the Sands of Time engine. That was back on the Xbox Live Arcade. And I was like, I don't know that we need that. I don't want that. And then the rumors came that it was going to be a remake of the 2008 Prince of Persia. Do you remember this one? The Nolan North one, Celeste?
Yeah.
And a lot of people hated on that. I would have been fine with that. I would have been fine. I actually liked that game. I feel like if they remade it, they would actually put the end in the finished game, not in DLC. And that could be cool. That game has a great art style, and the combat's fantastic. A lot of good going for it. Soundtrack's great, but it's not Prince of Persia Sands of Time. This is exactly what I wanted, and oh my god, it's actually happening.
Yeah, no, because as far as I understand, right, there are like rumors circulating around about what exactly this could be, and I think one of them was, oh yeah, this could be the 2D Prince of Persia, which I don't know as much about Prince of Persia, and so I don't know which ones are the beloved ones versus the ones that people are like tepid on. And so Sands of Time is the one I keep hearing about as being the one that people keep going back to. I believe IGN gave it like a 9.5 or 9.6 at the time. Yeah. And like, that's really cool that one, they made the right choice, or it seems like they're making the right choice. Of course, this report is coming from, a small clip that leaked on the Russian Uplay store, which if you're going to get Ubisoft news from anywhere, right? Like a Ubisoft leak that's credible from anywhere, it's going to be on the Uplay store. I also want to point out, like, Ubisoft, I feel for them when it comes to their leaks. Because, like, I don't know the last time there was a major Ubisoft game that didn't get leaked.
Dude, I was actually thinking about this morning, where I just don't understand what the fuck's going on. I know they have a shit ton of studios, and I know that there's a lot more hands in the cookie jars over there than in a lot of other places. But it's bizarre to think back at any E3 conference ever. And to think, I feel like we can count on one hand the amount of legit surprises that we've ever seen. Like when Star Fox showed up at that E3 press conference as part of Starlink, that was like, holy shit, no one saw this coming. The last time I can remember like a huge surprise like that before that was when Beyond Good and Evil 2 made its like return.
Yeah.
You know, like that, no, that did not leak and nobody fucking expected it. To the extent that I remember Marty Sleva at IGN said that he tweeted out an hour before the conference, I will eat my mug if Beyond Good and Evil 2 is shown. And then it was fucking shown and it was like, holy shit. And that tweet got like fucking blown out of proportion. But it's crazy how few genuine surprises we ever get at a Ubisoft conference.
Yeah, no, and like even this Prince of Persia thing alone, we've known about it for a while, right? Like we've known that they're working on some sort of remake, or maybe not. Let me not say a while. I think it has been only like a few weeks, but this one alone has been leaked in like three different ways. Because yeah, I'm looking at the IGN story right now. There's the Russian the leak from the Russian Uplay store, right, where some of it went up early. You know, there was apparently fans spotted Prince of Persia motifs and symbols in a piece of promotional art for Ubisoft Forward. And then there was an Amazon UK listing for a Prince of Persia that was found. That's three different ways this thing leaked. And
so, dude, that's the thing is, I mean, imagine being me, a young Tim Geddes. And by that, I mean yesterday. And I'm sitting here taking in all these rumors and just being like, be still my heart. Just I was so excited about this. I literally explained it all to Gia. And that says something, because she doesn't give a fuck at all. She cares about my happiness. And I was telling her, I was just like, look, there's a couple ways this is going to go. It's going to be shown tomorrow. But what's it going to be? And I told her the three options. And then I woke up this morning and I rolled over. The first thing I said to her, I was like, the decade of dreams continues.
Oh, my God.
And she kissed me. And I'm living my best fucking life. That's
an amazing story.
In addition to that, last night I was like keeping up with all this stuff. And then, yeah, I saw that the Ubisoft Forward promotional art, and I saw it. I'm like, that Sands of Time. I know that fucking puzzle. Holy shit. But I was like, I don't want to get too excited because that could just be indicative of a franchise. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean we're getting a Sands of Time remake. Like, that's a kind of a leap for me. But then seeing everything we got today, it's like, all right, it's real. Now, I will say, the leaked stuff on the Uplay store, looks horrendous.
Yeah, it looks, I saw some of the clips, and like I would say horrendous, but it doesn't look like a current gen remake. Like, it almost looks like a remaster more than a remake, from what I can tell.
And with that, not to go on too long with this, but these games were remastered from PS2 over to the PS3 back in the day, and those remasters weren't that great. They didn't run well. They shoehorned 3D. Like remember when PS3 was trying to do 3D?
Yeah,
they shoehorned all that into it. Like, it just didn't really work well. And yeah, so far this does look like that. But Daniel Amott on Twitter was saying, and he seems like he's been in the know on this for a while. He responded to it and he was like, "Don't worry, it looks a lot better than this leads you to believe." So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm really excited to see later what this could look like. But bless, we're living in a new world of what remake means. Like, and that to me is such a key thing, where in a generation that is two generations past remasters just being the norm, we're now using remakes in games titles, or just going with the game title, talking about it as a full remake. Like, when we have the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, when we have Resident Evil 2, when we have Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, like, we have some amazing remakes. Final Fantasy 7 remake, like, they go above Shadow of Colossus, exactly. They go above and beyond and kind of look at every single game that I just mentioned and ask, what should be done for this game? It's not just a one-size-fits-all situation with these remakes. And that's why the 3D All-Stars thing is such a bummer to me, is this is not what is best for those games, specifically Mario 64. Mm-hmm. But with Prince of Persia Sands of Time, I really want to know what this is. I can't wait to see it, because if I had to say one thing that Sands of Time lacked compared to the latter games, is its combat. Its combat was not great. Puzzles were amazing. Traversal was amazing. Story and atmosphere, everything amazing. But the combat kind of lacked. So I'm hoping that they kind of up it a little bit too.
Do you think they go in and actually change up mechanics and stuff? Or do you think an asset thing?
I really hope that this is more of a Resident Evil 2 style remake than just a Shadow of the Colossus type.
Speaking of things that might appear at this Ubisoft Forward, story number two, Tim, Decade of Dreams. Is the Scott Pilgrim game coming back? This is Darren Bonthews at GameSpot who writes, "It's been a decade since Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game, was released. And for the last 6 years, the well-received beat-em-up has been missing after it was delisted from the Xbox 360 and PS3 digital stores at the end of 2014. A campaign to bring back the game began gathering momentum in May this year, as Scott Pilgrim creator Brian Lee O'Malley, film director Edgar Wright, and the game's soundtrack composer Anamanaguchi all tweeted support for the fan effort." Following that, right, this morning there was a tweet from Edgar Wright who said, quote, "Ahem, Scott Pilgrim fans might want to keep their eyes peeled on Brian O'Malley's feed later. I shall say no more." And then putting a pin on that, I want to rewind a month earlier, August 13th, Brian Lee O'Malley, of course, creator of Scott Pilgrim, tweeted, "P.S. Ubisoft has reached out to me."
And now, if I remember correctly, that was in reaction to the last Ubisoft Forward, where the Ubisoft Forward happened. Brian Lee O'Malley tweeted something to the extent of like, "Where's Scott Pilgrim?" And then this was the response. So yes. I'm feeling pretty good about it. It's the 10-year anniversary of the movie. The game was awesome. Yeah,
dude, I can't believe that movie came out 10 years ago. Are you serious?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Anamanaguchi killing the game on that soundtrack. So damn good. And again, the gameplay, it is what it is. It's a side scroller beat 'em up, and it's not like it's this like revolutionary thing, but that's not what made that game special. It was obviously the art style and the music and the vibe and the dialogue and all the aesthetic. Yeah. Maybe not dialogue, but you know, like fun little like things that happen, how the story progresses. But this would be fantastic news. This is a game that deserves to live and not be dead because of weird licensing things. One of the first Let's Plays we ever did on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames back in 2015 was of this game. So go check that out.
Oliver writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, "Hi, blessing Tim. So apparently we're getting some much anticipated Scott Pilgrim news in today's Ubisoft Forward. Director Edgar Wright tweeted out the following this morning, Scott Pilgrim fans might want to keep their eyes peeled to Brian and Lee O'Malley's feed later. I shall say no more," end quote. "The question is, with all the news surrounding Ubisoft, the Guillermo family, the allusion to a movement like Black Lives Matter as a bad thing in that trailer, talking about the Elite Squad trailer, etc. How can I, a fan of Scott Pilgrim, support the franchise I love while being vocal about Ubisoft's iffy practices? Is it hypocritical to be excited about a game from a company you don't necessarily admire? Cheers and have a great day. And to follow up with that, because the Sheep Whisperer writes in with a similar question. On the eve of a Ubisoft Forward, many are excited. But I can't help but to be mellowed by all the recent allegations and firing of prominent members of the Ubisoft staff. Sure, games are going to be great, but they're still marred by the individuals that help lead them. How do we balance these two sides of this coin? And this is an interesting one, because Ubisoft has, as we all know, have kind of been in hot water over the last few months, right? From the allegations to the Elite Squad stuff, to pretty much everything in between, right? Like their games being affected essentially, right, by bad leadership on the editorial team. You know, we got the story about how they were like, hey, nah to a female protagonist for Assassin's Creed because that wouldn't market well. Like, all this stuff has come out about Ubisoft. Tim, for you, how do you come about these two questions, right? How can somebody be vocal about their support for a game in the midst of all this? And also, how do you balance those two sides of the coin?
I mean, it's obviously very difficult, very nuanced. I do think that it has a lot to do with you. You can be vocal about both things. And I think that, you know, we've talked about this in so many different ways where it's like we need to hold all these people accountable. And Bless, do we have on the show that Yves put out that video, the message?
I was happening as I think we're getting started. And so I don't have it on the show, but I saw him put out a thing. I didn't have time to like check it out.
You didn't watch it yet? Damn.
No, I hadn't watched it yet.
Yeah, fuck, this is the problem with these live news shows. But yeah, Yves Guillemot put out a video, about a 4-minute video on the Ubisoft Twitter, kind of addressing these things in a way. Is it the best way? Absolutely not. Is it the worst way? Absolutely not. I think that, you know, at least it's being addressed. I think a big question is going to be, is it going to start off the Ubisoft Forward later? Or did they tweet it out to kind of try to sweep it under the rug and kind of be like, okay, cool, we're addressing this, but we're not addressing it in our commercial, you know? That I think it would be a real, I don't want to call it a win, but it'd be a good move for them to put this 4-minute video in the front of the Forward later to kind of really kind of reiterate that, no, we're stand by this message and we're not trying to hide from it. I think the message itself has a lot of issues. Go for it, Bless.
Yeah. Do you think people would be down with it coming from Yves Guillemot? Because I know, like, I know there are like a lot of mixed feelings. I know there are people that like Yves Guillemot. I have no opinion on him because I've not seen much from him. But they're on the other side, right? There are stories about how I forget if it's like his nephew or one of his relatives who son. Were leading up his son. Yeah, that was leading up the Elite Squad team, and that was obviously a thing of nepotism, right? Of him mm-hmm. being able to lead that team despite his experience maybe not lining up with what you'd expect from somebody leading a team, and then you get what Elite Squad is. I feel like they're in such a weird predicament because, yeah, Yves Guillemot is like the lead of Ubisoft, and even with him, right, there are connections to him that are like, all right, yeah, like it's great that you have things to say about what's going on here, but Do we even want to hear this from you specifically?
I mean, look, here's the thing, man. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't, damned if you do anything any which way. I think that no matter how they address this, it's going to face a lot of criticism. And I think that's all valid. I think it's valid criticism. And there's discussions there always. And I think that personally, I think that the message does need to come from him because he is the man at the top. And I think that is showing that the man at the top is aware of all of this. And that allows us to hold him and the upper management even more accountable than we already have. You know, mm-hmm. when they're addressing it head on, it's like, you can't hide from that when you're the one saying that there is a problem and you know that. But with that comes a lot of things of the criticism of like, well, should it be him? Because it sounds like he's pretty problematic too. And they're not doing anything about him. And what about his son? What about all these, you know, different aspects? But again, that's the conversation that needs to be had. And Ubisoft is a big team, big teams, many teams, teams of teams that are amazing, hardworking people that do not reflect the views of some a lot of this bad shit, you know? And I think that, I mean, we've even seen a lot of them kind of rising up, and like there's been all the stories of, you know, like essentially mini protest within the company to be like, hey, no, we don't stand by this shit. And I think that these things are all examples of actions being taken to counter that. And again, they're not, think in the history of ever, there's ever been an apology video that nailed it. Because I think that by definition, it's kind of like an apology video is a public thing that you're apologizing to many different people. So what one person's looking for, someone else isn't, you know? So it's like if it's an apology to many, if someone accepts the apology, there's going to be thousands of others that don't. And that's fine. But it does put everything in a interesting lens of, cool, so what are people supposed to do? And I see this as a good thing that they are addressing it, because Ubisoft could have just went today and not addressed it at all. They're addressing it on the day of the forward. And are they only doing that to save face and because they were pressured into it? Yeah, but they were pressured into it. So that's some motion in a positive direction.
Yeah, I'm definitely with that. And to the question of how do you balance both sides of the coin, I think that comes back to a part you just said, right? There are so many people that work at Ubisoft that have no involvement with the bad actors there. Like, I know the bad actors that were let go, many of them were higher-ups. Some of them were not necessarily as high as, like, being one of the leads of the creative team, right? But, like, you know, for a company that employs hundreds and hundreds of people, you know, most of those people hardworking and probably want the best for the product, right? Like, there's so many people on the creative teams there that want the best for the product and that work hard and want you to be excited about Assassin's Creed, want you to be excited about Immortals, want you to be excited about Far Cry 6, or whatever the project may be. And for me, when it comes to supporting a creative project that has so many hands involved in it, I kind of keep that in mind. It is very hard for me to want to protest a thing like that, because I know there are good people and passionate people and creative people that very much do still want your support. They don't want their hard work to go to waste because of one bad actor or two bad actors or however many bad actors there may be in this case.
It's nuanced and it sucks, man.
It's a difficult thing.
Yeah. We've talked for years on Kind of Funny about separating the artist from the art. And I do think that as time goes on, sitting here now in September 2020, that it's at an all-time high, and I have the lowest tolerance for that type of separation, where I think that the way that the discourse has kind of turned, and just with where everything's at, because there's a reality we're facing right now where every way you turn, the world is upside down. And with that, our views need to change on things, and the way that we kind of consume things and think about things has to change. And I think in many ways already has changed. So many things that I said before about even like just like supporting artists that have ridiculous views a couple of years ago, I have a different thought on now, where it's like it's harder. It gets harder and harder for me to listen to some artists where I'm like, man, not only are you not showing growth, you are going in a direction I cannot stand by. And when it comes to these type of things where it's like there's these people on top that seem to be making these horrible decisions or like doing horrible things, and there's all the people below them, it does get, there's an extra layer of complexity of how to deal with it and how to talk about it. But I do think that, again, these are steps forward. It's not leaps. It's not solving the problem by any means. It's Ubisoft forward. There you go. But I really just think that at the end of the day, it's easy to look at this and be like, oh, they're just trying to save face. Yes, they are.
Obviously.
Let's move on from that. What else was accomplished here? What else could be accomplished next? Like,
Or we like need make to stop
getting stuck in the conversations that are, at least in my opinion, obvious. Yes, that is exactly what they're doing. You know, but.
And like, I mean, back to both the questions, right? Like, this is your judgment, right? This is how you feel. Everybody's going to feel different about the responses. Everybody's going to feel different about how to support a thing, and that is natural and that is okay. Like, when it comes to supporting different artists or separating the artist from the art, right? Like, it's difficult to accept because that makes everything so complicated, but each individual case is going to be treated differently as far as how you feel about a thing, right? Like, for me, when it comes to music, it becomes way harder to separate the artist from the art, right? Because I feel like, for me, when it comes to even some of my favorite artists over the years, Kanye West was the dude who I was biggest Kanye West fan number one, right? And like, Kanye West within the last few years has shown the opposite of growth, right? It's been such a weird and tumultuous time when it comes to his public perception and all these different actions that he has and all these things. That affects how I perceive his music. That affects how I perceive his art, because like, those two things are intertwined. with Ubisoft, right, it's kind of, that stuff is more separated because we're talking about a game versus music, which is probably more personal in terms of the actual content in there. But even still, as somebody, as us who are in tune with the games industry, in tune with the going ons in it, you know, it, those stuff become closer and closer in a way where me playing Gods and Monsters, I might be thinking about some of the stuff that went on in Ubisoft, right? And that's unfortunate, but that's the reality of it. And it's a case by case basis in terms of how am I going to react to that? How is Tim going to react to that? How are the folks that are writing in these questions going to react to that? And I don't know if there's necessarily a wrong or right answer because so much of it is so weird and gray and case by case. And I think that's okay. And I think that's how you got to tackle these things. Story number three, Xbox Game Pass. And this is like a hard shift from the conversation we just had. Xbox Game Pass for PC is doubling its price. This is from Taylor Lyles at The Verge. Alongside an influx of next-gen console news, Microsoft also confirmed today that it'll be raising the price for Xbox Game Pass for PC from $4.99 per month to $9.99 a month starting on September 17th. Existing members on the introductory price will still pay the same rate through the next billing cycle. So if you subscribe before September 17th, Microsoft will not change the price on you abruptly. Dude, with that, such... Jeff L. from...
Hold on real quick. This is such a misleading headline. Like... misleading is not the right word.
It's accurate, but it's
it's sure. Technically, it is true that Xbox Game Pass for PC is doubling its price, but the reality is the beta price was $5, and they had always said that the full price is $10. So it's just going out of beta. Like this is just now the full release. So exactly. It's like technically it's true, but like this kind of sounds like Xbox is raising the price on something when actually it's just releasing.
Exactly. And Jeff L. touches on that in his question. Of course, this is Jeff L. from Phoenix, who writes in and says, so Game Pass PC is increasing in price. The initial stories I've seen say it's doubling, which it technically is. However, I got my first month for $1 and have been fine with the $5 per month introductory price for a while now and will gladly pay $10 to continue. Would have even before they added EA Play. Seems a lot of people are upset on the internet, at least from the initial responses I've seen. Some seem to think the price increase is due to EA, but from the beginning, they have been clear $5 was the introductory price while it was new to PC. As you all have said on KFGD before, Game Pass is a phenomenal deal. For instance, I got to play Astroneer, then try out the new Battletoads, jump into Forza, and had the new Microsoft Flight Simulator and Crusader Kings the day they came out. Both highly regarded new releases. Plus, I'll get the new Halo and other first-party Microsoft games at release, and they are giving the complete Destiny 2 out later this month. The negativity and surprising hostility this has gotten so quickly has become, in my anecdotal opinion, all too common in any public forum about video games. I guess my question comes to this. Is any slight increases to prices for and in video games always going to be met with such aggressiveness? I understand the love and passion and feel the same way. Video games are cool, but there's a trend of the top comments and discussions being dominated by cost and microtransactions, and anything short of condemnation is met with downvotes and shockingly aggressive comments. It's exhausting in a world that seems to be chaos all around us, and all I want to do is go and talk about video games, something I enjoy to escape. Instead, the anger and negativity I'm trying to avoid seems to be seeping deeper into every corner of my favorite thing. Maybe I'm projecting, or it's my own depression twisting things, or maybe it's just due to the crazy times. But at the end of the day, video games are supposed to be fun, and I like to have fun talking about them in detail, and it hurts to see so many people negative about something I love so much. Thanks for reading my question, and stay safe out there, Jeff L. from Phoenix. That was a lot, Tim, but to rewind it back to the key question from this write-in, is any sort of slight increase in price going to be met with aggressiveness?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it always has been, and it always will be. You know, a funny thing happened to me. Like, I feel like growing up, you always have key moments in your life where you kind of look ahead into your future, and it's hard to imagine being a certain age. Like, right now, it's like I can't imagine being 60 years old. You know, like back when I was in elementary school, I couldn't imagine being a teenager, you know, and there's an age you're like, oh, my God, I'm old. And I remember a lot of people leading up to me turning 30. A lot of my friends were just like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm turning 30. And I was like, I don't give a shit. This is awesome. Like that's fine. 31 was a weird one for me where it hit. And I was just like, oh my God, like this feels like a new era. Like 31 is like a different phase. And I think that's a personal thing to everyone. The reason I bring this up is something happened. I turned 31 and I just like look at things differently. Like looking at all this stuff, it's like, I just take so much of this criticism, so much of this anger and stuff. And I just look at it and I'm like, all right, this is going to happen no matter what. What can I take from it? What can I take from anything people are saying, whether it's troll bullshit or like actual, you know, nuanced thought? And I think that a big revelation I had, and this all should be obvious stuff, but it's hard when it's being lobbied at you or around you in this case of the industry. But when you have conversations with these fanboy wars that are going on, anything can be weaponized and your words will be taken every which way. Andy posted a tweet a couple days ago that was criticizing his thoughts on Avengers, and one person's calling him a sellout fanboy and the other person was calling him like a hater, whatever. And it's like, that's how this is all going to go down. That's going to happen with every single thing as long as more people get voices and more people are entitled to those voices. And that's what the internet is. And the internet is so intrinsically tied to gaming culture that's not going to go away. And there's an entitlement to it. And I'm not even going to say that entitlement is not earned. It kind of just is what it is. And we've all kind of grown into it. So when something happens, people are going to have thoughts. Bless you and I sitting here on Kind of Funny Games Daily, we're not the only people entitled to have thoughts about video games.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, that's
people treat it that way, which is weird.
And that's the weirdest thing. But it's like, they also, everyone goes out and like, they all have their opinions. And like, their opinions are just as valid as ours in a lot of ways. People listen to us and are allowed to have opinions on our opinions, and that keeps going, and that's going to continue to keep going. I'm saying a lot right now, but the point that I'm trying to make is, yeah, there's always going to be aggressiveness because there's always going to be people with aggressive opinions.
Yeah, and I think, especially when you look at the internet and the way the internet is framed and algorithms and all that stuff, it is going to be the most vocal people that rise to the top. And so when you talk about like the comments, I know Greg has always talked about the vocal minority, and there is truth in that. If I'm watching a thing, or if I hear a piece of news, right? If I hear that Xbox is raising the price of Game Pass for PC, and like, as fine of a thing that is for the context that was given for it, if I'm angry about it and I vocalize that, that then means that other people who either identify with that or see that and feel like they should identify with that are going to raise that to the top, and thus creating this level of toxicity that always rises to the top, right? Toxicity is like heat. Like it will always rise to the top of the comments, because that's how it works, right? That's how the quote unquote vocal minority works, right? Or not even the vocal minority, just the folks who are vocal about things, right? That most people might not even care about. That's how things are naturally.
That's what you just said is a really good point. And like, man, we are running out of time. Today is too busy. It's a stupid ass day with so much shit to talk about. Exciting stuff, but like, damn it, this sucks that we don't have too long. Cause like I do, there's a conversation to be had that like, I have made a big effort to stop ever saying vocal minority. I think that that's a thing that does not exist anymore. It did exist in internet 3.0 7 years ago, but things have changed. The internet, the world has changed. And what you just said about the heat rises to the top, all that stuff, it's like, that's just about people being vocal. I think that they're not necessarily a minority anymore. And I think that there is a lot of positivity also being spewed about. But still, it's the toxic shit. It's things that you disagree with that rise up because more people are talking about that.
Yeah.
Look at any Reddit thread ever. The moment there's controversy, that's what everyone's talking about. Like, life is fucking reality TV. Like, that's all that it is when it comes to any of this.
Yeah, and
stuff.
Maybe like a better term for it might even be like the vocal polarization, right? Like, it's the polarizing sides to things that will get raised to the top. And that's just the naturality of it, as unfortunate as that is, because I feel like, a lot of nuance gets lost in that. A lot of the true conversations that are happening get lost in that. And that's kind of the order of things. And so, people are going to get angry about prices, and it's on us to be like, all right, do we see value in that? Do we agree with that? Do we disagree with that? All right, how do I feel? Cool, move on. And that's how things go. Speaking of moving on, though, I got to move in to sponsors. Of course, this show is brought to you by NZXT. You can go to kindoffunny.com/ Patreon to get the show ad free. Tim, do you actually want to tell us about NZXT BLD? Because I think this is one of the ones that you're excited about.
Yes, definitely. This episode's brought to you by NZXT BLD, brought to you by them and their new $699 NZXT starter PC. It's a perfect first gaming PC that is well-rounded for school and work. It's beautiful as well. Great gaming performance at a competitive price point. The NZXT starter makes achieving 60 plus frames per second on popular games like Fortnite, Rainbow Six Siege, League of Legends a breeze. Easily upgradable so your PC can grow as your needs change, all backed by a 2-year warranty and a frames per second guarantee for peace of mind on reliability and performance. Learn more at www.letsbld.com. For a limited time, you can use the code KFG for a free NZXT puck with purchase on an NZXT pre-built system like the brand new NZXT $699 starter PC. The NZXT puck must be added to your cart before you purchase for the discounts to apply. Again, check out NZXT's new starter PC series. It's an excellent first gaming PC. There's a link in the description or go to letsbld.com. And use code KFG. Andy and I have been using our NZXTs for a while now. I absolutely love it. I finally set mine up and using it, and it is just chef's kiss.
Chef's beautiful. Kiss. Oh my goodness!
Go for it.
Oh well, I mean, I was going to go into the next sponsor, unless you want to tell us about that.
I will. Okay, this is another thing here. So this is actually an interesting sponsorship opportunity. Multiple best friends involved in this. The person that designed this app is actually a best friend, but there's also a group of best friends led by Eric Brudanos that have been big fans and supporters of this app and using it in the community. And I think it's a really cool thing. Barrett's been using it for a long time. And I was like, you know what? I want to give this thing a shout out because it's actually really damn cool. This is the GG app. You can go to ggapp.io/kindoffunnygames to see all this. Kev, if you could actually bring this up, that'd be pretty cool. I'm just going to read the what they wrote for me because they did a good job. They know what they're talking about. There's an overwhelming amount of games coming to us every day. One thing we all have in common is spending way too much time trying to keep track of them all. What's in my backlog? What should I play next? What are my friends playing? The great news is that GG is a website and mobile app that fills that void. GG helps you crush your backlog. You can organize your collection any way you want and make lists or rankings that are easy to share. Think of it as Letterboxd for video games. Kev, you've been using Letterboxd, right?
You didn't hear me, but when you said that, I was like, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because being able to track what you're watching, what you're playing, it's crazy how, especially for what we do, it's so helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, scroll down. Anyway, did you go to the kind of funny link that I talked about? Go to ggapp.io/kindoffunnygames, please. Thank you. GG is developed by Charles Watson, a kind of funny best friend and one-man team. He's working nonstop to add features, engage the community, and keep GG 100% ad-free for everyone. Because there are no ads, GG is supported completely by the elite tier members, many of whom are kind of funny best friends. The elite tier unlocks extra features such as adding a backdrop picture to your profile, pinning reviews and lists to your profile, fading games completed from your list, tracking percentage of games completed, and more. Now's the perfect time to add Persona 5 to your completed games like Greg never could. Or check out Barrett's top 50 games of all time and wonder how he could rank Donkey Kong 64 over The Last of Us Part 2 or Ocarina of Time or Red Dead Redemption or, well, the list keeps going. What are you even doing, Barrett? I love that they wrote this. They just know. But you can see here, bless the list. They have every game of the year kind of funny he's ever had.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's awesome. They have the PlayStation, the PS I Love You list you guys have been doing. Anyways, very cool stuff. To sign up and rep the kind of funny flag, go to www.ggapp.io/elite and use the code KFBF40 to get 40% off a lifetime discount on your elite subscription. And keep an eye out on Twitter for special features just for the best friends. Again, ggapp.io/elite and use the code KFBF40 to get a 40% off lifetime discount on your elite subscription. Very cool stuff.
It's a huge discount. That's great. That's awesome. Story number four, we have an Epic v Apple update. Of course, this is the ever going battle, right? The battle between Titans, Epic and Apple. We've been talking about it, and there's always going to be updates about this until we get that final verdict, until Epic finally wins and we get Fortnite everywhere for free with free updates and all that stuff. I don't know if that's how it works, but as an update as an update we have right now, Apple has gone on the full offensive. This is from Alex Calvin at gamesindustry.biz. Apple has filed a countersuit against Fortnite maker Epic Games in the duo's ongoing legal drama. In a filing with the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California Oakland Division, the App Store giant has dismissed Epic's case as, quote, nothing more than a basic disagreement over money, end quote. Apple went on to say that Fortnite, an Unreal Engine creator, wants, quote, to pay nothing for the tremendous value it has received from being on the App Store, end quote. The iPhone maker also alleges that Epic boss Tim Sweeney wrote to Apple execs on June 30th, 2020, asking that his company be exempt from its existing contractual obligations for the App Store. This included the 30% platform fee that developers on Apple's platform pay, of which Sweeney has long been a vocal opponent. Sweeney also apparently asked that the that his company be allowed to distribute its own competing Epic Game Store application on the App Store. As a related follow-up to this story, Fortnite users will not be able to use Apple's official sign-in system from September 11th onwards, Epic Games has confirmed. The withdrawal of the sign-in with Apple system is another outcome of the current legal dispute with Epic. The Fortnite publisher is advising players who use the system on how to retain access to the game after the September 11th deadline. Of course, that's tomorrow. And so use the sign-in with Apple feature on Fortnite on iPhone, might want to look in to how to change that. But yeah, this is the ever-going battle between titans, man. And right now, it seems like Apple has a lot of leverage, which is not surprising because they're Apple, but still interesting to watch Epic kind of still throw blows and try to hang in there and try to make change happen despite the odds not necessarily being totally in their favor.
Yeah, there you go, a little Hunger Games action. Emperor Mito says the pissing contest continues, and that's exactly it. We'll see how this all goes. Real quick, this is a not professional thing to do, but here we are, kind of funny, Kev. It's about to be 10:30, and we have cool friends with like big deal people like Jack Quaid. I don't want to mess this up, but I want to keep the show going. What are our options, Kev?
Kev's thinking real hard.
Even if we have to just cut, and like, I'm sorry, live people, but you guys would much rather.
Jack I can legit rush through story number 5 in the out today and get us out of here. Barrett in 4 minutes.
Barrett and run then, the rest, and then Cool Greg stitch it all together.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Like I could get us through to new dates in probably 4 minutes flat, and then we can go to the post show.
Let's do that.
Okay. All right. Last story. Story number 5. No More Heroes has been delayed to 2021, and my heart has been broken. Tim, I'm really excited to see the final product of No More Heroes 3, but that apparently is so far away now. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, we got MMO Astray for Switch, Bounty Battle for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Hotshot Racing for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, Wintermoor Tactics Club for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, Bacon Switch for Switch, Other Side for Switch, Vampire the Masquerade Shadows of New York for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Minoria for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, Tamarind for PS4, PC, Tin and Kuna for Switch, Tomoyo After, It's a Wonderful Life, CS Edition for Switch, Space Robinson for Switch, The Snake King for Switch, The Leveled for Switch, Death in Taxes for Switch, Adventures of Pip for Switch, Redneck Ed, Astral Monster Show for PC, Hungry Horse for PC, As Far as the Eye for PC, A Monster's Expedition for PC and Apple Arcade, and then new double rewards await in GTA Online players this week. And then there's a Grindstone update. The latest update brings a new daily grind mode, the Quick Grind. And then the Unfinished Swan comes out for PC and iOS, and that's actually pretty exciting because I didn't know about that. New dates for you. Bartlow's Dread Machine Arcade Shooter will launch September 29th for PC and Xbox One. Episode 3 of Cyberpunk Night City Wire is coming September 18th at 6 p.m. CEST. Atomic Crops launches on Steam and GOG.com September 17th. Cyberhook hits PC September 24th. The Survivalist is launching on consoles and PC on October 9th and coming soon exclusively for mobile on Apple Arcade. And then Unmemory is a creative and original story in the style of Another Lost Phone and Bury Me My Love. It comes to PC, Google Play, and the App Store on October 13th. It's time RicanaFunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. And it looks like we got nothing wrong. Look at us. Just straight up killing it today. Tomorrow's hosts for the show are me and Greg. And of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.
Good shit.